sure we're all familiar with this song. Yeah, we've sung it many times, right? Oh, you just think so. All right, we're glad everybody's here. We do have some who are out not feeling well, but some are back who are visiting elsewhere, and we have Danny visiting with us, so we're glad he came our way. We're going to have a lesson tonight about committing ourselves to the Lord and staying there. And that's why we choose this title, The Old Padded Cross. I was inspired many years ago by a little thing I read written by Mr. Anonymous. And so we're going to see that. But if you'll look at it, you will sit down and realize that very possibly you're the person who's saying what we're going to talk about tonight. So, you ever notice how most people want comfort and convenience over the command to take up our cross daily? You know, that's what most of the people in this world, they want to do it the easy way. They don't want to take up that cross that they have to carry and struggle through life with. They want it the easy way. And sadly, there's so many preachers out there that tell people, oh, you can do it the easy way. Problem is, those people aren't going to go to heaven by doing it the easy way. So we're going to talk about that this morning, this evening. You know, Jesus told us that if we wanted to be his disciple, that we needed to deny ourselves and follow him. Luke 9:23, it reads, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, we got to sit down. What does it mean to deny ourselves? What does it mean to take up our cross? And what does it mean to take up and follow Jesus? Well, first of all, deny yourself. Basically, you're going to have to tell yourself, I'm not in control. I'm not in charge. There is someone greater than me. And that is acknowledging God as being more important than me. And that's what the idea of deny himself means. I'm not the head honcho around here. God is. And then, of course, taking up our cross. Now, when we study that word cross from the New Testament, the way it's written, basically it means a burden. It doesn't necessarily have reference to the cross that Jesus carried to his crucifixion. It basically means a burden that we have to bear. And then, of course, following Jesus, you follow Jesus his way. Not the way that I feel like. And that's the way many people are in this world. Well, I feel like doing this, and so that's what I'm going to do, and God's just going to have to accept that. No, we don't go along with that. We have to follow Jesus the way he specified, the way he taught us. And so we're going to examine what Jesus means by taking up our cross daily in a few minutes. And years ago, like I said, I came across something written by Mr. Anonymous. And so we're going to go that. And it goes like a one-way conversation between a new disciple and the Lord. So you'll see what I'm talking about when we get there. You might get a few smiles on your face. You might say, that's kind of humorous. But sadly, I think there's a lot of people fit in this category. It goes like this. Well, here I am, Lord. You said take up your cross. Yeah, it's coming out. There you go. I'm going to turn the light out. You can see that easier. Guy says, here I am, Lord. You said take up your cross. And I'm here to do just that. Very excited here. It's not easy, you know, this self-denial thing. Yeah, I mean to go through with it, though. And that's what I mean to do. And yes, sir, I bet you wish that more people were willing to be disciples like me. I've counted the cost and surrendered my life, and well, I'm really proud because it's not an easy thing to do. It's really a rough road being a disciple and all of that. You mind if I look over these crosses? See, I'd kind of like a new one. I'm not fussy, you understand, but a disciple has to be relevant these days. I was wondering, are there any that are vinyl padded? I mean, I'm thinking of trying to influence others, you see. And well, if I could show them something that was comfortable and not too, oh, you know, then it would be easier to get them to accept it. We've got to keep up with the times and all. Oh yes, it should be something durable so that I can treasure it always. And one more thing. It should be sort of small so that it will fit under my coat. I mean, we don't want to be obvious about it after all. People can get turned off by someone who is too obvious about being a disciple. Funny, there doesn't seem to be much choice here. Just that model made of coarse, rough wood. I mean, that could hurt. Splinters, you know. Isn't there something a little bit more distinctive, Lord? Boy, I can tell you right now, none of my friends are going to be impressed by this shoddy workmanship. They'll think I'm some kind of nut or something. And my family, well, Lord, they would be just mortified if I took one of these home. What's that, Lord? It's either one of these or forget the whole thing. But Lord, I want to be your disciple. I mean, just the thought of being with you. That's what really counts. And Lord, we can't forget that. Today, life must have its balance. You can't go overboard on something like this. But Lord, you don't understand. Nobody lives that way today. Who's going to be attracted by this extreme self-denial bit? I mean, I want to, but let's not overdo it. If I start getting radical about something like this, they'll have me down on the funny farm in a jiffy. You know what I mean? Lord, being a disciple is challenging and exciting, and I want to do it. But now, I do have some rights, you know. Now, let me explain what I had in mind. You know, first, no blood. I just can't stand the thought of that. Also, I don't think that you should expect me to be at every... Lord? Where do you suppose he went? Now, some of us might find that conversation humorous, and I heard a few chuckles. And it is, but it also teaches us a lesson. And the sad reality is that more members of the Lord's church fall into this type of thinking. Well, I want to be a disciple, I want to go to heaven, but you know, it's just a little hard going through this self-denial bit. It's just a little bit tough to be faithful to the Lord. I mean, he expects me to be at all the services, he expects this, he expects that, and that's too much to ask of somebody. And sadly, so many Christians actually feel that way. People who claim to be Christians. Now, we know there's people in the denominational world, they really don't care what's going on. But even in the Lord's church, we have this problem. See, if they were truly seeking to follow Jesus, they would not make stipulations of the Lord. Have you ever heard anybody do that? Well, I'll serve you, Lord, but you've got to do this for me. No, we're not allowed to do that. He doesn't, and really, he would get very upset if we did. I mean, it's his way. That's the only way that matters. We better be doing it his way, because we can't try and do it our way, because most likely that would be the wrong way. But these people, they would be obedient from the heart. That's what we're supposed to do. Romans 6:17 tells us that at times past we were of a sinner, but now we have observed and obeyed that form of doctrine which we were taught. We've been obedient from the heart. And so that's what we need to do. From our heart we say, Lord, you say it and I'll do it. You know, that's what Job said. Speak, Lord, and consider it done. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. And so we need to hear what the Lord has to say to us, and then we just need to do it. We don't have to sit down and guess and sit down, well, I'll get around to it. You know, we've heard people say that. Well, I'm going to sow my wild oats now, and then I'll get around to it someday. And of course, we hear that a lot. Someday, I'm going to start serving the Lord. Someday, I'm going to be faithful. Someday, I'm going to do this. When does that someday ever get here? For most people, it never gets here. And they are lost. They suffer an eternal torment because they did not come and give themselves wholly to the Lord. Remember in the Old Testament, there's several people said that. David told Saul, if you will give your heart wholly unto the Lord, he will be there for you and protect you. And so we need to seek the Lord with the whole heart. That's what Jeremiah told the people. Of course, we know that most of the people, they want to do their own thing. And of course, they suffered the punishment from that. God, speaking through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need concerning salvation and eternal life. It's found in our Bible, 2 Peter 1:3. His divine mercy hath granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So we have it in our Bible. We have everything we need for salvation. We don't need to find out from some person who thinks they're special, say, well, you've got to do this, you got to do that. We can go to the Scriptures and find out what we need to do. We can go to the Scriptures and find out we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We need to go to the Scriptures and realize we've got to change our ways. We've got to repent. I mean, repent means to make a turn. Turn around. For most of our lives, we're living for ourselves, or doing whatever we want to do, and we realize that's not pleasing to God. So we have to change our ways and start living the way that God wants us to live and not keep doing our own thing. And then we've got to recognize that Jesus is Lord, and we've got to be ready to tell people, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's my commander. He is my guide, and he is the one I put my trust in. And we have to do that, and we have to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Because as long as we have sin in our life, we cannot have a relationship with God, no matter what. So we have to have our sins washed away. The only way to wash away sins is through baptism, Acts 22:16. And then, of course, after that, we realize we've got to stay faithful the rest of our lives. We've got to be doing things God's way the rest of our lives. And so, the Holy Spirit, God, and Christ have all given us the message we need to hear. And as they've laid out the rules for us becoming disciples of Christ. That's how we become disciples. Then we have to stay there. We must be willing to give it all up for Him and live a life that glorifies God and encourages others to do the same. Like we talked about this morning, let your light so shine that others may see your works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Yes, we must be willing to give it all up and give our lives and dedicate our lives to Him. That means stop thinking and doing what I want to do, but what does God want me to do? And that's where we need to be focusing. What does God want? And it's not a guessing game. Because He's told us, right? We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. This is the Word of Christ. And He's told us what He expects of us. We don't have to guess. And we are told to count the cost of discipleship in Luke 14. And we've got to decide, are we willing to live that way so that we can be saved? And once again, He says, you've got to deny. In other words, He says you got to deny your father, mother, brother, sister, and your family members. In other words, no matter what they do, you're going to have to put Jesus first above everybody. And you cannot allow anybody to dictate to you how to live by any means. Now, we know a lot of people, when they obey the gospel, their families despise them. Their families reject them and turn their back on them and sometimes even cast them out. And we have, okay, am I willing to give it up? Or do I want to tell Christ, okay, I want to be your servant, but my family doesn't want me to go to church. My family doesn't think I should be keeping myself from drinking or any of the other sins. And my family wants me to do this. And in order to keep peace in the family, what do? Well, a lot of times, a lot of people just compromise. Well, Lord, I'll serve you Sunday morning, but Sunday night, the family has me. No, that's not right. That's not the way it should be. And so we decide that. And so we have to be willing, okay, am I going to do this? Later on in chapter 14, he talks about a man. It's kind of like the man who wants to build a tower. He starts off with a great deal of excitement. He gets the foundation laid. Then he all of a sudden he's run out of money. He cannot complete his task. And that's what Jesus described a lot of saints as being. You know, remember in Matthew 13, the parable of the soils. You know, the seed was scattered. Some fell on the hard ground, which couldn't take root, but some fell on the rocky soil. It quickly sprang up because of excitement, but then all of a sudden the wind blew and the sun beat upon it and just didn't have no foundation. And then it just withered away. And Jesus said there's some people like that. Then he talked about those who grew up with the thorns. I mean, they're trying to live in the world, even though in their mind they said, no, I should be serving God, but they can't make up their mind. World, God. They're torn between the two. And they're not really committed as they should be. See, everything we do in life is a choice that we make. We've said that numerous times from this pulpit. Everything we do. Sometimes people choose to sin. They know it's wrong. They're going to do it anyway. Other times we know something is wrong and we don't really want to do it. But, you know, even Jesus said the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. And that's true. It is. And that's what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7. He was talking about the fact that, you know, my body wants to do these things which I know it shouldn't be doing. And it's a struggle I have. In Galatians chapter 5, when he's talking about we should walk by the Spirit and put away the sins of the flesh, he says there's a battle going on. And for everybody, for all of us, there is a battle going on because the world has one expectation of how to live and God has another. And we've got to sit down and, okay, which way am I going to go? Am I going to please the world, make them happy? Or am I going to please God and make Him happy? And so we do things. And sometimes if we do anything for selfish reasons, that's automatically wrong. It is. And so we have the choice. Everything we do is a choice that we make. And we must be willing to accept the consequences of our actions. If we will study God's word as we're commanded to, we'll find out what actions God wants us to do. And that's the ones we need to get our mind made up. These are what I'm going to do. There's a lot of prohibitions in the scriptures where God says, thou shalt not do this. We've got to make up our mind, I'm not going to do that. And that's what we really need to do. But here's the hardest one to put forth for you. James 4:17. He that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And we can go through the scriptures and find hundreds of things that are the right thing to do. Do we do them? Not always. That's something scary to consider. Am I being pleasing to God? He says it's right to do this, but am I being pleasing to God if I don't do it? Be kind to your neighbor. Everybody could probably agree that's the right thing to do. What happens if we're not kind to our neighbor? Are we fulfilling God's desire? The answer is no. It's plain and simple. And yes, there's things that we know it's right not to participate in certain events because the Bible condemns such events. And we know that if we do something wrong, God's not going to be happy. And it's very possible that He's going to make us pay for it. So we must be willing to accept the consequences of our actions. And that sounds kind of scary, but when we consider how gracious God is, We know that if we come to God with an honest heart and saying, forgive me, then guess what? He's going to do that. He's going to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. We have that promise in 1 John 1 and verse 7. And we can choose to live right in the sight of God and go to heaven when we die. Now, the world's not going to like that. The world's going to hate us for doing that. We have to understand that. Living right in the sight of God, there's a lot of enemies of God out in this world, in the society we live in. This society is more antagonistic towards God than they are anything else. And it's really a shame and a tragedy because this world is falling apart. It's going down the sewer. Everybody knows it's going down the sewer, but they're trying to figure out how to make it right. And they're using any formula they can come up with except the only formula that would work. And that is God and Jesus. Jesus is the answer, and they don't want to hear it. In fact, anything God tells us to do is going to be the right thing to do, and it's going to be successful. If we're going to get into business, you do things the way God wants us to do it. You be honest. You be fair. You do things right. You treat your customers with respect. And guess what? They're going to keep coming back. When you start taking advantage of people, they catch on pretty quick. I'm not going back there. So, yes, I mean, we do things God's way. God set up the plan for marriage. And that's right. He said, a man, a woman, and don't mess that up. Don't divorce your wife and marry another. Don't do this or do that. He gave us those things. As long as we live according to God's word, things are going to be right. We're going to have success in doing it. When we discard God's ways, then we're going to have problems. We have trouble. And that's what this world is trying to do, trying to fix all these problems in this world, and yet they refuse to acknowledge God has the right way to do things. Maybe we can just ignore God's word and not do what he says and reap the punishment of eternal torment. That's what's going to happen. You know, some people treat this very lightly. Oh, well, all my friends will be there. We'll have a great big party. No. If you read the scripture enough, you'll find out it's a place of darkness. It's a place of torment. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a place that you will be alone. You'll be separated from everything. You'll be there in the darkness. And you'll hear the screaming of the pain that is taking place in others. And you'll be screaming yourself, but you won't have anybody to look at. And the thought of getting right with God is too late. That will never happen. We don't want that to happen. So where you go is going to be your choice. That's why as a congregation, we try and encourage people to do it the right way all the time. See, God has already told you what the right choice is. He's given it to us in his word. He's told us what we need to do. Now it's our choice. Am I going to do it? Well, that's a choice we encourage everyone to make. What does God say? Start doing that. You just have to decide if you're going to do what is necessary to obtain salvation. Yes, I mean, there's a lot involved. And some people don't really figure that out. You're going to have to maybe tell your friends, I'm not going to do that anymore. You have to be ready to stand up for yourself and say, no, I'm not going to talk that way anymore. I'm not going to act that way anymore. I'm not going to be involved in these things anymore. I'm not going to participate anymore. That's how we can obtain this salvation. But that's a little bit hard for a lot of people to do. So please consider this carefully and be ready to take up your cross daily for him. Make the choice. Put it in your mind. God will take care of you if you will be faithful to him. He will watch over you. He will protect you. He will bless you in many ways you can't even imagine. But it requires you being faithful to him, not when you feel like it, but all the time. Your soul depends upon your decision. Think about these things. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come all together. We stand and sing.